Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, giving new customers $200 in free bets instantly when they bet $1 or more on any football game. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and make sure you use code KSN. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. Free bet promotion for new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit. Max wager limits apply. One per customer. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number one. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dustin, it's finally here. We had football and we get football to talk about. How about it?
It was as glorious as I expected it to be. And, you know, having the game day environment back was huge. I mean, not just Penn State, Wisconsin, but all these games that you saw, Virginia Tech, and, you know, it's just great to see fans and great to see these traditions come back alive again.
All right. Before we get into the game details, in Madison, jump around. Greatest thing since sliced bread or overrated?
I think the anticipation buildup and the excuse to get everybody moving not only creates that moment, but kind of keeps the fans engaged for four quarters. So, like, the effectiveness of it, I buy it. I think it's really cool, but I would probably lean towards it being maybe just a hair overrated.
I say it's way overrated. All right, let's move on, though. We got a football game to talk about. First of all, let's just start with this. How about your takeaways from the game, Dusty?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, like, I know Wisconsin did some sloppy stuff. I know that Graham Mertz was not exactly sharp. Penn State won the turnover battle 3-0, and I know that maybe that does or doesn't repeat if you play this game again. But I thought Penn State deserved everything they got in this game. I thought Graham Mertz was sloppy because Penn State made a concerted effort to rattle his cage early in this game to try to get him off the spot, his spot, to make him see ghosts, to bring that pressure and bring that heat, and managed to do that without compromising all that much in the run game. You know, I thought Penn State deserved every ounce of this. I thought just the way that they competed in this game was a stark contrast to what we saw pretty much all season long. You saw a team that was more or less going through the motions last year. And I know that it didn't feel that way. And I know that they were impacted by a lack of in-person meetings and a lack of practice time, a lack of FaceTime with coaches. But I also felt like, you know, if you look at some of the guys on this team and the tone that they set, look at the two defensive backs, Jaquan Brisker and Tariq Caster-Fields, making the decision to come back and making it about, let's do better. Let's prove that we're better. You know, the tone that sets is an urgent tone up and down this entire roster, up and down the entire defense. And then you look at what guys like Jesse Luketa is all about, which is just relentlessness. In your face, physical, relentless. Arnold Ebiketie was also kind of the same way. Brandon Smith is capable of not just tackling guys, but punishing guys. You know what I mean? Like, all these things kind of set the tone that this team's playing with urgency and it's playing with tough-mindedness, because early in this game, Wisconsin was running it down Penn State's throat. You know, like, look at the first couple drives and what they were able to do with Chaz Malusi. And you're thinking, as that's happening, you're thinking, okay, this could be a long afternoon if Wisconsin just sticks to this and keeps pushing. Then you look at the final game stats, and these guys did not back away from that physical challenge. You look at the final game stats, and they averaged, 3 yards per carry in this game. I would not have predicted that at all early in the first quarter. And I think it's just a testament and a credit to how they were playing and, you know, really not giving up on how they were playing. You know, I thought they just hung in there on both sides of the ball and stayed patient, and they got the win that I think they very much deserved.
Well, I'll give you a couple of my thoughts, Dusty, to just finish up some of your thoughts. they not only held them to 3 yards a carry, but they did this over how many, 95 plays or so, where, you know, the old, gee, you keep that gut punch over and over and over, and then by the end of the game, that defense will be worn out, they'll break down. They never did.
Right.
Which was phenomenal on the defensive side. The other thing, the two stars of the game on each side of the ball, Jahan Dotson, Jaquan Brisker, both elected to come back. They both, I think a year ago when the season finished, if we would have made a prediction, we probably would have thought at least one, if not both of those guys were going to leave. What a difference it makes to have, they were stars, and they played like stars. And the last thought was, Jesse Luceda playing defensive end is better than Jesse Luceda playing outside linebacker. And
agreed.
Where did this guy Ellis Brooks come from?
Well, I mean, we talked about it briefly in the offseason, you know, to look back at his body of work from last year. It was a light bulb moment to see the statistically, you can see the way that he affected games in a wide variety of ways. And that's exactly what he did in this one. So I came away, you know, looking back at 2020, being like, okay, I don't think I appreciated Ellis Brooks's performance that year as much as I should have in the moment. And then he comes out and just a really good bit of work in this game. Led the team in tackles. The ejection, I'm sure we'll talk about the targeting call then. James Franklin didn't like it. And I guess I see why. I would also say that Ellis Brooks probably could have been whistled for pass interference a couple times earlier in that game. So it was almost like karma came back around or something like that. But he is, you know, I think the moral of the story being that Ellis Brooks went into the start of this year still being underappreciated. And I don't think he came out of Wisconsin still being underappreciated. I think a lot of people kind of saw him for the player that he was, which was a guy who's capable of making a play in just about every way, sideline to sideline, bring him off the edge, pressuring the quarterback, getting back into coverage in the middle of the field. I mean, leadership, intelligence. I mean, this is a much better player than he probably was given credit for.
And you mentioned he could have been called for pass interference, but there were a couple of plays where his name wasn't mentioned, but I noticed him back in coverage making a difference, which was impressive. And we'll get to that targeting in a second, but there was another play. I believe it was a fourth down play where Wisconsin converted, and they talked about Ellis Brooks saving perhaps a touchdown because he made the tackle while he was being tackled. And if you watch the replay, and I give credit to Joel Klatt, who made that assessment, he was exactly right. Ellis Brooks was tackled by their tight end. I mean, he was wrapped up. It was a good tackle, good form on that tackle, too. And it wasn't called. And it was right at the point where the ball and the running back was. So the official was looking at that, and that wasn't called. Let's go to the targeting call, though, Dustin. I want to get your take on it.
I mean, watching it over and over again, I don't think Graham Mertz deserved to be rewarded for his effort on that play. I do think that the crown of Ellis Brooks's helmet clipped the helmet of Graham Mertz on the sideline. I thought the brunt of the contact was not the crown of the helmet. I didn't think that Ellis Brooks turned himself into a projectile. He didn't launch. He didn't get both feet off the ground and launch. I think by the letter of the law, that probably was targeting. But the spirit of the law, you know, it is a harsh, harsh punishment for a bang-bang play, a guy just trying to make a play and play fast out there. I thought it was a really unfortunate for Ellis Brooks. I don't think he deserved to be, you know, to be ejected and to miss the first half of next week. I saw what the officials saw. I just don't think that should have been called. And I don't think that Graham Mertz playing without a whole lot of situational awareness and slowing down at the sideline with all those, you know, white and blue jerseys around him was nonsense. And he begged to get hit hard. He did get hit hard. Just technically, Ellis Brooks it was targeting. I don't know. I mean, does that explain it? Like, I saw what the official saw, and I think there was enough to make that decision. I just didn't like making that decision in that situation.
And the way they make that call, again, watching the game a second time, aware of that targeting call already, seeing another play in the game, and I think it was Brandon Smith making just a typical tackle against a running back. I swear, Dustin, it was the exact same thing happened. Initiated contact with the shoulder to shoulder, and then the glancing blow among the helmets, and it was nothing. And here you had the situation where that happened. I realized it was the quarterback, but as you pointed out, the quarterback wasn't giving himself up. He wasn't stepping out of bounds. He was staying in bounds. He was challenging. He was acting as a running back. And the other part to this that intrigues me was there was no call on the field. Replay started showing in the stadium. Fans started reacting. Wisconsin calls a timeout, essentially saying, you know, was Barry Alvarez upstairs talking to Kevin Warren saying, I think that's targeting. Call your guys, you know. I don't think that was happening. But it was the stadium itself was begging for the call. And they got what they were begging for. How much of a factor, if that game wasn't in Madison, do you think that would have been called?
I agree with your assessment that I don't think if this game's in Beaver Stadium, I don't think this is called. Maybe Wisconsin still tries to call a timeout and get the refs to give the refs a little bit more time to think that through. But the pressure starts to mount. The anticipation in the stadium starts to mount. The noise is coming from the sideline. The roar is coming. Like, referees are human beings. And they do reserve the right to go back and review a targeting call if they don't make it at the time, I believe. Wisconsin was just doing everything they could to lean on them and create more time for the officials to take a look at it, kind of knowing full well that it'd be a 50-50 shot at worst that they make this call again, especially in Camp Randall Stadium.
Yeah, exactly. Watching the game live and seeing the play, as soon as they said there would be a review, I think every Penn State fan was saying, that's it. It's going to be called targeting. We know the end result to this. And again, the fact that it wasn't called on the field and it was at least in a gray area, the fact that they called it later, I don't like it. And we could get into a whole discussion about the penalty fitting the crime with having to miss the first half of the next game. Dustin, that's it for quarter number one. We're going to pick up the Wisconsin-Penn State talk in quarter number two.
DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is giving new customers $200 in free bets instantly when they bet $1 or more on any football game. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. Free bet promotion for new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit. Max wager limits apply. One per customer. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.